Hallelujah. All right, are we doing Shabbat Shalom? Are we on?
Yes.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom from the home of Messianic Judaism, Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia. The birthplace of Messianic Judaism. Did you know that Joel Chernoff was born, his mother was born about 100 miles from here? We are the closest Messianic congregation to where Messianic Judaism was founded, right here in Tennessee and Virginia. And so we are the home congregation. We are the central congregation of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America as far as location. And we're the hillbilly Messianic congregation. But you know that Yohanna Chernoff, the mother of Messianic Judaism, was from Tennessee. She was a Methodist. And so we want to welcome you today to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, our Yehuda. Like us on Facebook, please, at For Zion's Sake Ministries or Our Yehuda. And we're glad you're with us today. We have a special guest today. Oksana and Boaz Eliyahu are here with us today. We're blessed to have them. And we're gonna get underway. We have the lovely Dawn Bell is leading us, so Let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shabbat.
Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom again, everybody. Folks coming in. Shabbat Shalom, folks watching online. We welcome you today.
Are thy tents, O Jacob.
house will you dwell,
and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. All right, let's do the Vishamru. Visham Ruvene Yisrael et HaShabbat Lasod et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam Visham Ruvene Yisrael et HaShabbat Lasod et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam B'nei uv'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, Odhi li'olam. V'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat of
observing
it out third generations,
as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we sing to Jerusalem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace on earth.
For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem.
Shalom Aleichem.
You pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Hey, Father, we thank you for this glorious day that you've given us today on this Shabbat, Lord. We ask that we all enter in today to worship and to praise your name today, Lord. We pray for the Jewish people of Israel, Lord, that they will come to know the true Jewish Messiah, Lord. We pray for all the Messianic communities and congregations around the world, Lord, that on this day you would bless the rabbis,
Bless their message today, Lord. Bless the worship and the dancers, Lord, today. And may we all entertain into your Shabbat on this day, Lord. And we pray that one day the Shar Shalom will truly come to the land of Israel, Lord, and we will all see him as he is, Lord, the Messiah of all of the world, Lord. And we surrender our lives unto you today, Lord. And we ask that you'll bless our special music today, anoint her, Lord, as she brings your worship through her words of the music, Lord, today. We ask that you bless us today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Now the Lord says,
He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel unto himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha b'veitecha uvelechtecha v'aderech uveshachbecha uvekumecha ukeshartam liot al yadecha v'hayu latotafot b'neinecha וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
All right. Gee, it's good to see Ray. How you doing, Ray? Good. I didn't know you were ill. Were you out? Were you sick? I'm sorry to hear that. We'll pray for you. Amen. We do pray for you, but we didn't know exactly what was going on. But okay. Well, I'm going to ask Isaac and William to come and get the Torah. They would. And instead of laying it down today when you're finished, since we don't have a table, if somebody would sit and hold it after you're finished processing, okay? Sit in the chair. And Charlie, would you like to open the ark? Okay. Thank you.
Throughout all generations, the Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed be
he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel." Amen. So if somebody just wants to sit with it.
Sit back up here too on these chairs.
You can sit up here too if you want, either way. You're comfortable. Just sit right on the bench. Thank you, Charlie. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah.
Baruch
Adonai Harach Yolam Vahen.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. Nenatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Adonai Noten Matorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. Anthony, you can take my stand.
Okay.
And I'll just take the...
I can just stand right there. There's no use moving it. Okay. 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 I'm up high today. Okay, that'll work. It's okay. You don't need to move it. It's fine. Okay. Let me encourage you. Today's Torah portion is Beshalach, and it's from Exodus 13 through 17. And it's talking, and it says, when he sent away. Let me encourage you. Next week we'll have the Pearls of the Torah, so you can get, we'll go a little bit more in depth into the Torah during the classes that we have every other week, every other Shabbat. So let me encourage you today. It's just sort of a small recap. If you were here last week, we talked about, you know, the Israelites observing the first Passover, and we see the first mitzvah and the first moed that God had instituted and gave to the Israelites. And in today's parasha, if you read that, and I hope you did, it's not a very long one, about four chapters. We see the Israelites have, Pharaoh has asked them to leave after all of the miraculous things that God did. And the Israelites left Israel with the hand of God, and it was outstretched. But they, as they leave, they realize when they look back, Pharaoh is coming after the Israelites. So they were sort of stranded between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army that's fastly approaching. But God has a cloud that comes and goes between them. And God gives Moses an instruction. He says, raise your hands up and your staff over the sea, and I will make the waters recede. You see, that was something supernatural. I always think of the guy that played Moses in the movie, Charlton Heston, if I remember him. He always portrayed Moses, I thought, a lot like Moses would have looked, the way the character that they put on him. But, you know, God made a miraculous thing there, and the mighty wind blew and the sea split, and it was dry. They didn't have to trudge through all the sand and the grit in the sea, because God dried everything, and they walked across on dry land. And I think if you look at the splitting of the sea, it's sort of like a birthing channel, which was like the Hebrew letter Mem, because they actually came from actually the birth of a new nation, because when they crossed the Red Sea and went to the other side, they were coming out of slavery. They became actually a new nation when they got to the other side. And what did they do? They began to rejoice and sing, because when Moses took his hands down, the sea covered up God's creation. He destroyed the Egyptian army, and Pharaoh finally was destroyed. But this was not something that God enjoyed to do, because he wanted the Egyptians, first of all, he wanted them to recognize him as the God of the universe, the only God, the God of Israel. And they did not. So he destroyed his creation. Miriam leads the group in a song of praise and gratitude for saving them. But, you know, it wasn't very long, because they had traveled about 3 days, and it was quite a few people in that group that came. And all of the unleavened bread that they had baked in Egypt, and God said, you know, you have to leave quickly. And he gave them a time. At noon they would leave, and they left. And they had consumed the matzah that they brought, and they had consumed all the water. So they got very complacent real quick. There was a lot of people, and they found a place, and the water there was very bitter that they came to. And God instructed, once again, Moses to take a branch from a tree and to cast it into the water and make it no longer bitter. You know, the root etz is the word in Hebrew for tree, but it comes from the root word, which is etzah, which means to be bitter. The tree was bitter, but the water became sweet. And I think we can see something God is telling us, that sweetness comes from bitter, being added to bitter, he gets a sweetness, and we realize very quickly that everything that we have and everything that we are is from God. But God took the Israelites into the wilderness, and I think the wilderness was a training area for them. He could have taken a lot quicker, a more direct route to the land of Israel, but they went into the desert, and of course, if you read the Torah portion, you know they become a little more complacent. They don't have the type of food they want, so God brings manna from heaven down, and he covered it with a dew. And dew in Hebrew is katal, and it means it's a symbol. The dew is a symbol of God's blessing, and he covered the manna with a dew. Now, why did he cover it with the dew? That was to keep these little crawly things on the earth from getting on the manna before they were able to collect it. So God knew what he was doing. But the thing here is the dew represented God's blessing. That's what it stands for. And he says take an omer, just one omer a day. If you take more than the one omer, then it would spoil. And on the Shabbat, God said take a double portion because he doesn't want you collecting on the Shabbat. That was the day of rest that God had instituted. So just to close this morning, just remember everything that we have and everything that we are is from God, the God of Israel. Shabbat shalom.
Stand for the closing of the Torah. Vezot
HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
To her, and all her ways are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
You may be seated. Just want to welcome everyone once again, especially those online. I think we're pretty much family here today. So nobody here new to welcome, but welcome everybody online. And we just thank you for tuning in. And if you just let us know, email us how you enjoy the service. We'd be happy to hear from you. And also, if you'd like to come, you know, it's be a blessing to us. And we're in Virginia, Bristol, Virginia, 1128 New Hampshire Avenue in Bristol, Virginia. So if you're close by, please come and be a part of our service. I'm sure you'll enjoy meeting all of our people and being a part on the Shabbat. And we are going to continue our worship here in a few minutes with a little more praise and worship, and then we're also going to be receiving our special guest, Oksana, and her husband, Boaz Eliyahu. They're originally from Russia, and then travel, ended up in Israel. So she's an Israeli citizen, and she's going to tell us her testimony, her story, and worship and minister to us in worship. So please stay tuned for this special message from Israel, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And following that, we will have a lunch, oneg, in the other building next door. So come on over. I think we've got food. Is that right?
Yes.
We've got food. Mm-hmm. So please come and fellowship with Oksana and Boaz. Afterwards, there will be an opportunity to look at their the things that they brought with them in the back. And they've also got a table downstairs in the fellowship hall as well. So please feel free to look at what they have brought to add to that. Now, just a couple of dates to remind you. We've got a Friday service. We've been talking about putting together a Friday night service for a while. And so we're going to be doing some joint services with New Life Baptist Church, and it's down on Volunteer Parkway going towards Johnson City. It's right past the race track. Please stay tuned for that. We'll give you the address. But that date, the first date for our joint service, will be January 26th, and that is the week before Purim. So I'm not sure yet, but I'm thinking we're going to have a Purim theme to that service. So please...
What month, Dawn? You said January.
Did I say January? I'm sorry. February 26th. February 26th. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have it written here, January, so I don't know why I wrote January. Original.
Blame the rabbi.
I got the date right?
For what? February 23rd.
I don't. I have the wrong date.
February
23rd. Okay. Everybody, I'm sorry.
Okay, let me repeat that. We are having a joint service with New Life Baptist Church. Think of Carpus, New Life, the green.
Parsley.
You know, the green, the parsley at Passover. Think of Carpus Baptist Church, New Life. We're having Friday night. They're cooking dinner for us, and we're going to have a Friday night Shabbat service. And we're going to do some worship. They're going to do some worship, and I'm going to preach. And we're going to start doing this regularly, at least once a month on a Friday night. It's on the way. It's about a third of the way between here and Johnson City, and right off near the Speedway. It's very central. And hopefully the goal is for us to, they have two campuses to relocate. The goal is to eventually... relocate to one of their campuses, and they're excited to work with us. They're Pastor Bill and Pastor Coy and the group over there. Hello, if you're watching, Pastor Coy, I know you watch from time to time. They're having us for Passover, and we may even do our Passover in their gym this year. Who knows? New things, new life.
New life. Everybody say new life.
New life.
All right.
And that's spring is coming. New life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Chan, say new life. All right. Billy, shout out new life. Who can say it the loudest? Oh, come on. You can do it louder than that. Xavier, let me hear you say it, buddy. All right.
All right. Woo. Hallelujah. Give it up for Xavier.
All right. Good job.
Okay. So Purim is March 1st and 2nd, so we will be doing some things for that, but I don't know yet. And then also Passover banquet is marked for Saturday, March 31st, and we'll be giving details on all of that in the following Shabbat. So stay tuned, and that's all I have for today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rebison Dawn. Isn't she pretty? Amen. Amen. And she's a great cook, isn't she? That's why I've been carrying this baby for 9 years. People say, when do you do? I keep having ultrasounds, but, it just doesn't happen. All right, let's take up our tithes and offerings. If you're watching and you would like to contribute, always encourage people to give your home congregation a tithe, but if you'd like to give an offering, or if we are your home congregation online and you'd like to participate in supporting this ministry, you can do so online through PayPal. We don't get your credit card information. Everything's private and all that. So you can give online, And folks here, if you're everybody's family, y'all know how it goes here. So we have a special basket here. We take up a spare change offering for the poor in Israel every week. So if you have some spare change in your pocket and you'd like to give, we contribute to the Joseph Project to help the needy in Israel. That's that basket on the side. Let's pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Thank you that for giving us the opportunity to give back to you, because you've given us everything. And Lord, your word says you love a cheerful giver. So Lord, bless us now as we come with our offerings and with our tithes, and bless them a hundredfold. Bless the gift and the giver. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Oh. What are you doing? Oh, I was going to do I Lay a Stone.
Okay, I got it. Can I get some more bass in the monitor, please?
I lay a stone in you, a rock upon which to build. I lay Yeshua in Yeshua in you, a beautiful name to bear. I lay a stone.
Forever and ever, forever and ever.
in a pit. He says, if you're struggling, if you're in the darkness, what should we do? Praise the Lord. So everybody lift up your hands. Say, I will praise God.
I will praise God.
I will give him glory.
I will give him glory.
I don't care who's watching.
Care who's watching.
I don't care who's with me.
I don't care who's listening.
Because guess what?
Because guess what?
There are more that are with us.
There are more who are with us.
Than that are with them.
Than those who are against us.
Right? Hallelujah. So maybe it seems like we're alone. But you know what? We're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. Because I got the host of heaven.
I've got the host of heaven.
On my side.
On my side.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to praise this one more song if I can get the beat. And I just... Hallelujah. Yeah.
Sing praises to the
Lord. There we go. Sing praises to the Lord. Don't you feel better now that you praised him? Say, I feel better.
I feel better.
I do. I feel better. You know, I come in here and I'm like, oh gosh, there's nobody here. Hallelujah. It's doom and gloom. And I sit down and I praise the Lord. And you know what? It gets better. Hallelujah. And there's no other name who can do miracles in our lives. What's his name?
Yeshua.
So say, Yeshua's going to do a miracle in my life. And there's no other name.
And there's no other name.
Except Yeshua.
Except Yeshua.
Hallelujah. There is no other name by which one can be saved. There's no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul. And the wounded made whole, and the captives set free, and forgiven. Okay, everybody sing with me. Who's his name? Yeshua. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole. captive and you need to be set free, now is the time. Just reach out to Him. He is the lover of your soul. He is the one who only loves you best. And in the dark of night, you can call out to Him and He'll come to you.
Turn it up a little bit. We're going to go to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask Diane and Deborah if you would serve today, please. And folks at home, if you'd like to join us for communion, come to the Lord's table with us, receive His grace. You can do it at home with us. Just grab yourself some matzah or some crackers, bread, whatever you have. If you have some fruit of the vine that's of your choice, and get that ready. And we're gonna go. I'm gonna step down, and we'll go to the Lord's table now. So, but I'm just gonna turn the air a little warmer here for our guest. So, praise the Lord. Can somebody take the stuff off here for me? Papers, this. Yeah, thank you. I felt bright and cheery today. You like my bright blue jacket? Yeah, you are. Look at that. I don't know. If Wendell had come, he might have worn his blue shirt, and we could have been the triplets. Could have been the sky blue triplets. What do you think, Bill? Maybe. Could have had. What's that? Three Stooges. All right, Ray, Three Stooges. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, not today. It's the four guys on the Impractical Jokers. They're the new Stooges. Yeah, they're a little not quite as nice as the other ones, but I think they're nicer because they don't punch each other. But anyway, let's go. So I'm going to bless the elements, and we're going to get back to the service. All right, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Borei peri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread we call the afikomen, the middle piece of three layers of matzah, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you." Everybody say, "For me." For you, for me, for you and me. Hallelujah. She write a song for you and me. And then he took the third cup on that Passover meal, the third cup, which is also taken after the meal at every Passover. The third cup is taken after the meal, and he blessed it, which we just did, actually. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." This cup was poured out for the forgiveness of sin. So, you know, when Yeshua's blood was poured out, he forgave the whole world. You know that? But here's the catch. You have to receive his forgiveness. You have to receive, he forgives everybody. You have to receive his forgiveness to be forgiven. And that's the catch. Everybody's forgiven. Everybody. Say everybody. Everybody's forgiven. But you have to receive his forgiveness in order to be forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's prepare ourselves to come. You don't have to be a member here to come. You don't have to be Jewish anymore. You used to have to be Jewish to come, but now we let Gentiles come to the Lord's table. Started 2,000 years ago, but anyhow, we invite everybody to come, but first, before you come, let's bow our heads for a second. If there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua, if you don't know Yeshua, let's close our eyes for a second, you'd like to know him today, just raise your hand. If there's anybody here or watching that doesn't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. Okay. Now, if you don't know Yeshua, He is the Messiah. He's the one who forgives you. And all you have to do is just say to him, say, Dear God,
I believe
you sent your son to die for my mistakes, for my sins.
Forgive me, God.
Thank you for washing me.
Thank you for washing me.
In the blood of Yeshua.
In the blood of Yeshua.
Thank you for sending your son.
Thank you for sending your son.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And put my name in your book of life.
Put my name in your book of life.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. That's all you have to do. You know, it's not the words, it's what's in your heart. And if you're watching today and you prayed that prayer, it's not so much, like I said, it's just, the Bible says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. If we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. And so that's why we pray and to confess. Hallelujah. So if you received Yeshua, let us know. Drop us a line. Drop us a Facebook message. Private message us on Facebook at For Zion's Sake Ministries or Ari Yehuda Congregation. Let us know, and we'll send you a free gift. But let somebody know. If you don't let us know, let somebody know that you asked Yeshua into your heart today. All right, we're going to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Ladies, come as you're ready, folks.
So my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. I love you.
Just come before you now, and we thank you for your grace, your chesed, your grace, that even though you knew before you saved us that we would mess up, you knew before we invited you into our lives that we would blow it, that we would fall short. You knew we'd make mistakes. You knew we'd stumble. You knew we'd get prideful. You knew we'd have anger. You knew we'd have issues. We'd break your Sabbath, we'd break your commandments. You knew all these things, but yet you loved us and you saved us, and we walk in your grace. You say, my grace is sufficient for you, and we walk in that grace right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And Lord, I want to pray. I was told that Crystal Lynn is still sick, and we want to pray for Crystal Lynn for her healing. Just pray that you can completely heal her. And Maria's mother has the flu, and the flu has been very dangerous. People have been dying in North and South Carolina. Many people have been dying down there because of the flu and in other parts of the country. So we pray for Maria's mother, Maria Williams, for her mother, for healing. And we pray, Lord, that you guard her life and help her to overcome. We pray that you intervene and just pray that you protect Wendell and Maria from sickness, Lord, and anyone else that's struggling with sickness that we don't know about today, if there's anyone else, we pray. We continue to pray for Brenda, Lord, and for her complete healing and her mother, that you help her with the decisions that she has to deal with her mother being in the hospital and needing an operation. It's just difficult time, like my mother needs an operation and can't have it, and her mother can't have it either. So it's a difficult period. So we pray that you help Brenda through that transition, Lord. We pray also for Karen, our dear friend Karen in the Morristown area. We pray for her as she cares for her parents, and that you help her as she works and takes care of her parents. Just give her strength. And we pray for all our friends, the friends of our ministry, for Zion's Sake Ministries and Ari Yehuda, for all the needs, Lord, for all the people who have sickness, for all the people who need work, who need jobs, all the people who are struggling with depression, struggling with their marriages, Lord, I pray for Sandra Platts and her family. They lost their mattress and they're sleeping. They told me they're sleeping. Her husband, what's her husband's name? Sandra Platts. They were here last week.
Ed.
What?
Ed.
Ed. Ed. Ed got stuck under his SUV. He has a big one of those big Suburbans, and he got stuck under it, and the fire department had to come and get him out. And then their bed, they have an air mattress, and it popped, and so they're sleeping on a box spring. So you know, they may need some help, and so if anybody would like to contribute to help the Platzes get a mattress, there's a small basket over there on the other side. If you'd like to contribute to help them get a new air mattress, you can do that. But we want to welcome, I forgot to pray for our children. Father, we just bless our kids. Kids, you don't have to come up here. But, come on up. What the heck? I want to pray for Joshua. Joshua broke his arm last week, and he's really had a rough week. Come on up, Josh. Wake up first. Wake up, then come up. Kumi. That's you too, Billy. Come on. Xavier, Chan, come on.
We didn't take the...
Are you taking them down?
No.
What? Oh, yeah. L'chaim. I got ahead of myself.
Wait, boys. Don't go.
Kids, come on back up. I want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Oh boy. Where's Joshua?
I think you went to the bathroom now.
All right. Come on, guys. Come on up. I want to pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for our children and... we bless them today, Father. We bless them. Father, I didn't know you growing up. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know who Yeshua was. And life was really hard. And when you came into my life, life didn't always get easier. But you sure made it. Knowing you were there and knowing that you were faithful and that you were guiding me and opening doors for me and carrying me when I couldn't carry myself really made life much better. And so I pray for these young ones, Lord. Come on up, guys. I pray for them, Lord, that you would reveal Yeshua to them. And Lord, as they struggle with school, and they struggle with school, and they struggle with what to do with their lives and direction, and how just being successful and all that they put their hands to, I pray, Lord, that you would just help them to turn to Yeshua, that you are really there to help them and not hurt them, Lord, that they can turn to you and that you will change their circumstances, that you actually have the power when we turn to you to change our circumstances. We just pray that right now in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, we pray for Joshua. We pray who broke his arm last week that you heal Josh. It broke on his growth plate, so it has to heal in order for his arm to function. So we pray that you heal his arm, Joshua's arm, and that he's able to function and play basketball and be just a normal, healthy boy, and that everything... Nothing broken, nothing lost, Lord. Heal his sprained wrist, too. We ask in Yeshua's name. and thank you for Josh, and thank you for all our kids, and thank you for Isaac back there. Even though he's a big guy, he's still a kid, and we bless him too. Amen. In Yeshua's name, amen. And help Xavier find his sock. Has anybody seen Xavier's sock? Somebody file a police report, okay? All right. Well, I want to. We have a special guest today, and she's from St. Petersburg. I guess would that be Russia today? It'd be Russia, St. Petersburg. Used to be the Soviet Union, but today it's Russia, right? Okay. She's originally from the beautiful city of St. Petersburg in Russia. And she moved to Israel. Well, she's been moved to other places too, but she lived in Israel for 20 years. And she's an Israeli citizen. She met a terrific guy named Boaz. And we've gotten to know them a little bit. And they're new to me and they're new to us here. But I've heard of them for years, and when we made contact with us, and we were glad to have them come and minister. And so I want to welcome Oksana Eliahu, she's going to do her music ministry and testimony for you. So please enjoy. If you have friends, if you have any Russian friends, call them, and have them tune in. And but she sings. She's a great singer. I was listening to her music on YouTube yesterday, and really I enjoyed her music. And she's got a beautiful voice. So let's all give a praise offering and clap for Oksana Eliahu and Boaz. Amen.
Shalom. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. It's good to see you guys and to be here and to worship together. So I just, I'm looking at the time. Okay, I'm taking my time. Okay, you heard him. Okay, good. So anyway, I would like to start with a song. It's called Blessed Are You Adonai, Baruch Ata Adonai. Pray this prayer in Israel in any occasion. If something really bad happening, we say Baruch Ata Adonai. Yeah, blessed are you Adonai. And something really good happening, we still say Baruch Ata Adonai. So, and we thank God for bringing us to this moment in our lives. So let's worship him together, and you are welcome to dance. Thank you.
surely allotted me. And if she surely would save your food, they would walk me.
Speak on this one. Is it good? Better? Okay, okay, and then I'll just use it for song. Oh, really? Okay, I was afraid to kill you guys. Okay, no problem. So, Uaderech, which means? He is the way. Derech, the way. Huamelech, which means? Melech? The king, he is the king. Who are Mashiach? Messiah. Who I met? The truth, okay. So we are going to sing this part together, okay? Achen, who are Derech? Who are Melech? Who are Mashiach? Who I met? Okay, and then the second part, I'm comparing and going to Isaiah 53, where it said Yeshua also suffered. They mocked him too. He was despised and rejected by men. He had no beauty and no majesty. They hid their faces from him. They didn't accept him. They didn't believe. But it doesn't matter. Ani? Bocher beYeshua. Okay? So remember, you can, every morning you can say, Ani Bocher beYeshua, today for everything, you know? Okay, let's try it.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to say a few words before the next song, and then after the song we will start with a story. The next song, if you can prepare the words, it's just love story, okay? Love song to Yeshua. It's called I'm Desperate for You. You know, sometimes we come to a congregation and, just watch. You know, I'm speaking about myself, too. You know, it's kind of I'm not in the mood, and I'm like, I'm not in. And sometimes we're desperate. Sometimes we really come in to hear from God. And then he is there to meet us. So this was that day when I was desperate, probably was in troubles, you know. And I came to a prayer, and it was a conference, so they prayed for me. I really felt that the Holy Spirit touched me. I was crying, you know, and all this. And then suddenly I had a vision. And in this vision I saw a bride. And this bride was so amazing. She was so beautiful. I mean, it was just unbelievable beauty that you cannot even kind of explain, you know, or describe. So I remember that I was just watching this amazing vision, and I heard a little voice in my ear. This is you. This is how I see you, and I love you. I was just crying like crazy. I was just could not really even handle it. It was like, you know, but I just want to say that it's not about Oksana. It's not about, you know, it's about us. Those who are covered with the blood of Yeshua, this is how Abba sees us. This is how beautiful bride we are in his eyes. It's amazing mercy. It's unbelievable. So then I just wrote this song. It's called I'm Desperate for You. Again, it's just love song for Adonai, and I felt today to sing it. So join me if you love him. Okay? Just your calling. So, well, now I can. I actually can come down there. Is it okay? Yeah, I would love to, actually. Okay, let me take this. And I will see you better. Okay, we will start with the story. I have tons of time. My story is about 12 hours. Are you ready, guys? So I have plenty of time, I understood. That's great. So is it okay? I mess your video or I'm fine? Okay. So I was born in Russia, like Rabbi said. It was St. Petersburg, not Florida, Russia. And in Russia, at that time, was kind of a communistic country, and they were teaching us from the very young age that there is no God, and people who believe in God, they're very primitive, stupid, and narrow-minded. When I was about 5, my parents told me that I was a Jew, which already in this young age, I kind of sense that it's something bad about me. So I told my dad that I don't want to be a Jew. Why should I be a Jew? Like, you know, it's kind of people were joking about Jews and nobody really liked Jews. So I said, no, I don't want to be a Jew. But he explained to me that I don't really have a choice because my both parents and my grandma's parents, they're all Jewish. And so I had to have this little word in every document that I had. And I wish, at that time, I wished to erase it. I wished to, you know, not to have it. If I only could to get it out of my document that time, I would do it with great, great pleasure. In the class, in school, sometimes teacher was asking, you know, what is your nationality, Oksana? And I had to get up in front of all my friends, all the students, and loudly said that I was a Jew. I just hated this moment. And even my close friends, they sometimes, you know, like I thought that they're really good friends, but when we argued, they could say, you dirty Jew, you go to your Israel. And I didn't understand why they even sent me to Israel. What me in Israel? I was born in Russia. My motherland is Russia. It's you know, I didn't want to even hear about this Israel, and I didn't know anything about Israel. I actually never seen a Bible in my life. I never seen a believer. I never knew anything about Israel except what they were showing, the propaganda actually against Israel. In the media, and the pictures was always horrible, and they were kind of looking very undeveloped country, and I thought they still ride camels and go barefoot. I really didn't know, I didn't have a clue, I was very ignorant. They took all the information about God or anything, you know, out our books, out our movies, out everything. So we didn't know anything. You know, I maybe it was me, but I was really ignorant. I'm just confessing. So my mom always telling me, you need to marry only Jew, only Jew. And try to be with the Jews as much as you can, which I kind of said, why should I marry only Jew? I don't have a lot of choices, you know, it's kind of not fair. But I knew that my mom wanted really to kind of to protect me because it was much safer to marry Jew and to be kind of in Jewish company, because even though it was not obvious, but anti-Semitism was in the air, everywhere, pretty much. So my lifestyle, you know, especially when already in college, it was very, very ungodly. I broke all 10 commandments. Again, I'm not going to go there. I had to write about my messes much more in this book, the destination where, you know, I have to kind of show the reader where I was and where, you know, what God has done with me. But today, because of time, and it's not really a story about, so we are just going to pass it. I just want to say, just for your imagination, I was drinking, smoking, swearing, you know, doing everything that you name it, pretty much. And if you say, did you kill someone? You know, I all 10 commandments. Yes, sure I did, many times, because the words I spoke could destroy many people. So I was a bad girl, okay? So when in 1988 or so, the international laws were signed, and Russian government could not keep Russian Jews from leaving because, you know, they had to let us go. So many Jewish people were leaving. We were saying that we are going to Israel because this was the only way to get out. But many of us wanted to come to America and, you know, become rich, have a big house, big car, you know, big money. So when we were living in Russia, I was living in Russia in the beginning of 1989, and at that time they considered us betrayers of the country. So they said that we betray, so we were kind of punished and were supposed to pay penalty about five times your monthly salary. It was a huge amount of money. They also took our citizenship away, and they didn't allow to take money that we had, even if we had like $1,000 even, or maybe a few thousand, who knows. We could take with us only $147 per person. That's all the money we had when we were living. And the passport, we didn't have any passport because we were not citizens anymore. So they just gave us kind of a regular paper with a picture stuck on it. Everything was in Russian. Only my name and last name was written in English. That's all we have for the documents. So we were like real refugee. Again, because kind of the story is long, I'm just going to jump from time to time, and we are going to jump right now to this first step where we flew. It was Vienna, Austria. So again, I just want to say that when we were going out of Russia, I don't know if you understand what Russia was, a closed country. You could not really know much about the free world. You cannot really understand what's going on. You could not. So we were really exciting. From one hand, we knew it's going to be everything new. On the other hand, we were kind of scary because we had no clue, you know, really how we are going to function, you know, with all this new new language, new lifestyle, new people, new work, new everything. So when we came to Vienna, there was an organization, Jewish organization, joined. They met us at the airport and they said to us, if you go to just where you are planning to go. Most of Russian Jews didn't want to go to Israel, probably because like me, they thought really, you know, low about Israel. So only those few that wanted to go, they flew right away from Vienna to Tel Aviv. But we had to proceed later to Italy. Again, I write some more about Vienna experience, you know, when, for example, they gave us shillings, yeah, and they said, okay, this is for like few weeks. And you have no clue what is this shillings about, how much it is, what to buy, how you do it. I mean, it was like a baby going, you know, starting walking. It was very exciting, very scary, and very stressful. So then we came to Italy, and in Italy, again, the same organization were all the time supporting us. They gave us some lirot, is Italian lirot. And it was actually a lot of thousands of liras, you know, thousands of liras. So it was like feeling kind of, wow, I'm now rich, you know. But only very soon we found out that 1,000 lira, it's actually $1 only. So our, you know, big dreams right away, actually, it was even much harder. We did not have enough money for really survive. We didn't have money enough even for food. So it was just not to die from hunger. But, you know, all this okay if you know that it's temporary. And I knew that I'm going to be just temporary there, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, you can suffer 3 weeks. It's not a problem, correct? So at that time, actually, America decided to make selection because so many thousands of Russian Jews were stuck in Italy at that time that they decided we are not going to get visa, give visa to every Jew from Russia. We are going to select. So every person had to go to a consul for a special meeting and kind of persuade consul to give you visa. We didn't know what the criteria is about. We didn't know what really they're looking for. We kind of sensed that they were giving more visa to young people. Sometimes they even separated families. You know, they could give the children and the parents didn't get visa, and it was a lot of drama, a lot of trauma, a lot of demonstrations. I don't know if you remember, it was 1989. Maybe it was in the press, or more, maybe they never speak about this. I don't know. In any case, I was young, I was pretty, I was healthy, good professional. You know, I knew I'm going to be gone like that, you know. I'm going to get visa for sure, you know, because I'm great potential. Hello. Yeah, you know, why would America not want me? No way. So I kind of knew it just temporary, which was easy, you know, to survive. So when I got my letter from the consulate, I for sure, I made a great story. You know, I was a great liar. I made a great story. I impressed the consul for sure. But anyway, bottom line, when I got my my envelope, I got refusal. I couldn't believe my eyes. I just couldn't believe my eyes. It was like all my plans were destroyed. All my dreams were ruined. Like everything, I even sent some of my stuff there. Like, what am I going to do? I cannot go back to Russia. I cannot go to America where all my dreams were. And in Italy, you know, Israel was not even an option. And in Italy, like, how I'm gonna live like that? You know, you cannot work, you cannot do anything. The only thing that you kind of look for is free. Anything free, you can kind of afford, you know. So you're looking everywhere for free stuff. I mean, this is not life. This is miserable, you know. Anyway, but 3 days later, someone knocked on our doors. So it was there were people. That came to everyone who got refusal. These people were from Israel. They brought a big map of Israel, and they say, here, you see the map? You can just point your finger where you would like to live in Israel, and you will get good apartment there. If you would like to study, any university are open for you. Any jobs that you ever wanted, we will try best to accommodate it and get it for you. In addition, you will get Hebrew studies. You will get money for, you know, till you get on your own and so on. So the benefits were up to the sky, okay? You should understand that it was before the million Jews came directly from Russia to Israel, you know, in 1990. So now I'm asking you, if you heard me, what do you think I said? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
All together.
Yes.
I said, no way. I said, no way, I'm not going this direction. I'm not going to speak this, you know, this stupid language. I'm not going to write from right to left. You know how they write? And I said, no way. Even if I die here from hunger, I'm not going to Israel. No way. Again, you should understand, in my mind, Israel, it was something horrible. You know, they were planting this information in us from very young age. You know, and my parents were secular. So I didn't have any clue about God, anything. You know, maybe we had matzah at home sometimes. I heard some language that I thought it's a secret language. It was Yiddish. So it was just little things, but it was nothing really to understand the global meaning of Adonai, you know. So it was nothing that was, you know, in my heart wanted to go this direction. So I decided to stay. I knew I'm going to take a big risk. I knew I'm hungry. I was the most slim and, you know, like a model I was in Italy, because it was not enough food, you know. So you like sometimes people say, oh, I need to sport. You don't need sport, but food, it's all you need. So it was really, really hard time. So one day we were invited to a Passover. I had no clue what is Passover about, but they said you are going to get a good meal. And the invited only refused it. Those like me that got refusal, because they knew we are in troubles, you know. They knew we are hungry. So anyway, I didn't know, but it was kind of an interesting experience. I came to this big synagogue. They put a lot of table there. It was like packed with people, like Russian Jews, and they were speaking mostly, you know, all this Hebrew. Sometimes someone was translated into English, into Russian, but I didn't get any understanding. I still was so confused. I said, what are they doing? And why they put food in front of us and don't allow us to touch it? Because it was kind of bad. You know, they knew we are hungry. So they were almost like, I feel like they torture us or what? Why they don't feed us? Where's the meal? Where's the meal? They invited us for dinner. So I didn't understand anything. I was all selfish about myself. I was just wanted to eat. I came for food. And they were, you know, doing all these forever things that I didn't care about. You know, I didn't care that it may be very important and deep meaning holidays. Again, I was far away from it. So I didn't have a good experience. Even in the end, they did give us food, okay? It was a good meal. But I remember saying to my friends, never again, never, no way, you know, like for 4 hours to sit and listen to whatever. So next experience, it was a little different. When we saw an advertisement in Russian language, it was written right on the street that there are big, big sign, we are showing a movie in Russian language for free, free movie in Russian. Guys, I don't know if you understand. When you are a refugee, you have no money, you have no life, you're miserable, and you're missing normal life. You know, we were really, like in Russia, it was a very big part of our lives, you know, to go to theater, cinema, you know, ballet and stuff like that. And we were missing, so it was absolutely amazing news, so we decided we're going. But there was a little problem there because this organization that they call themselves American Club, they actually was showing a movie, but they were some kind of a Christian organization. And we were told very, very clearly by the joint, remember joint, that were giving us some money so we would not die. So they told us very clearly, if you would go to whatsoever Christian activities, no money from us anymore. You will not get anything. So, you know, when they told you don't go, you want to go even more, correct? So anyway, we just could not miss it because we, you know, we wanted just to feel normal people. So we looked around and we sneaked in. And this was the first time in my life that I actually saw believers. This was Baptist missionaries. They were there for 20 years for Russian Jews. They were ministering to Russian Jews for years. They just never had this big mass, you know, of people, the huge amount. They were like, you know, it was always the time people were going through. So, again, the movies they were showing, it was Yeshua film. Yeshua film, Muhammad film, like Buddha film, who cares? I didn't come to, you know, to meet with God or to find out about God or Yeshua. I came to entertain myself, you know. But you know what? Nothing is by chance. We know that. So we know that God put us here. Even today that you came here, you know, it's not by chance. Something in my story, I pray, will touch you or will make you think or speak to you somehow. So, and God knew I'm a very emotional person, okay? And also when I came, this was the first time I saw believers. They were different. I'm telling you, they were, at least towards us, they were so nice and kind, and they were asking us about our problems because nobody wants to speak to refugees. We were like, everybody just want us gone. That's all. And here people had some Russian books for free for us. They had even some cookies, sweet cookies for free, which made this even sweeter, you know, we were hungry. So everything was kind of so nice and pleasant. The movie was fascinating. I never, ever heard the story of Yeshua, like pretty much like right in front of me. I was very, very moved. very touched, but I'm an emotional person, okay? I can cry when I see Pinocchio, Cinderella, okay? So it's not really a transformation. It was just a kind of emotional moment, but I believe that God uses these emotional moments. Because in the end of the movie, there was a voice saying, if you like the story of Yeshua, you can say this prayer after me. Pray, I didn't know what prayer means, but I remember I repeated these words after the voice. I know now that it was that very moment that I had a little crack in my stone heart where Adonai could put a very, very tiny seed in this dirt that we are. And when, you know, we put a seed in the dirt, we know something is going to grow there. Sometimes it's really fast. Sometimes it's really slow. I was a very hard nut. It was 6.5 years for me, you know, fighting all this until I surrender. So this is kind of a beginning of the story, you know. So we are going to go fast. I know the time, but Rabbi said, take your time, so I'm taking. Anyway, I just want to say that very soon I understood that the Baptist missionaries, they are actually even helped some Russian Jews to get out of Italy. And because I didn't have any plan, I didn't have any agenda, I didn't have any way out, I decided, you know, maybe they would help me too. Somehow I need to draw into this kind of idea. And I decided I will be going to this American club and I will pretend that I'm interested in all this nonsense, you know, about the God, Yeshua, whatever. And I'm just going to do whatever they need so they will like me and maybe they will help me. So I already played guitar and I learned their songs. And about months later, I was in their worship team. I was worshiping God, but not for God. I was worshiping God for people. I wanted them to like me. You know, I was trying all my best. Because, again, my goal was to kind of, you know, I believe that I was cheating, yeah? But it's actually was their plan as well. Because they knew very well that worship, it's not one-way thing. You know, worship, when you worship God, even whatever reason it is, it's somehow ministering to you as well. So in addition of which, they were sharing with us stories about Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you know, stories from the Tanakh. I never heard these stories in my life. It was absolutely interesting. It was so, you know, revealing, new. It was about my people. You know, I never knew all this information. So I actually enjoyed learning about that. So again, the Word of God and the worship together, it's a powerful package, yeah? And the pastor was, you know, they knew exactly how to deal with us. They didn't come with a hammer. You know, they knew we are Jews. You better, you know, be gentle. So they were like just saying, just think about this. Just think about this. And you know, you want or you don't, you start thinking about all this. So one day, I made kind of a deal with God, okay? I was thinking, like pastor suggested, and said, well, like, what I'm really losing? I'm going to this American club. I'm listening about this Yeshua and God, and people are so nice. I don't really feel uncomfortable. I don't really feel that they, you know, demand something crazy. So it was safe, okay? It was safe. So on the other hand, I thought, what if they're right? What if there is life after death? What if there is all this, you know, the Book of Life and all this, you know, you can get through Yeshua? It's kind of a good deal, no? Yeah? You know, it's a good deal and it's free, guys. It's free. You don't need to pay anything. You know, this pastor said to us, you just need to open your heart. No surgery, nothing. Just open by words. You know, you just say it. Like Rabbi today said, this prayer. You know, you just open your heart and say a prayer. And I thought it's really easy. It's not painful. And I said, okay, God, if you exist, fine. Here I am. I'm opening my heart. Come and show me what kind of God you are. It was not a humble prayer at all. You know, it was pretty obnoxious one, I would say. But God heard me, I know that. Because 1 week later, I had a dream that actually changed my life tremendously. So in this dream, I was going to a very tall building, and I took an elevator. The elevator stopped in the middle of the floors. It was stinky, it was dirty, it was darkness covered everything. I just couldn't see anything. I was so scary. I was so, in such a stress that I could not, find. I was all shaking and sweating. I was yelling and asking for help. I was trying to open the huge metal door of the elevator. It was horrible nightmare. In the very end of the dream, like all night, I was in this elevator fighting with this darkness and horrible nightmare. On the very end, already in the morning, I am still in my dream, and I'm coming to this building again, and here it was, the elevator, and from the right side, I never noticed before, there were many stairs going like that. And the light was pouring on the stairs, some kind of from a corner, going like silver and gold and white, and it was all kind of divine color. It was amazing. It was very, very, like, amazing picture. And I woke up. Guys, I was far away from God. I was still up to here in my sins, okay? I don't know how, but I can tell you that with all of my being, somehow I knew that this was a dream from God. And it was scary for me because I didn't believe. No, I wanted proof. Prove me. Show me. You know, this is how we want. Prove me. Show me. But here, no one needed to prove me. I could not deny it. I almost felt someone in the room. It was so scary. I was all still in this very emotional moment. And more than that, I knew what did it mean. This elevator, God showed me, this is your life. Full of stink, full of dirt, full of darkness, full of nightmare. On the other hand, these stairs I'm showing you, it's another way. Maybe it's not this easy. You will go many stairs. Sometimes it's hard, you know, going up and up and up, but you will go in my light. Again, it's not because I was so smart, so bright, and I finally chose the right way. Absolutely not my credit. It's my God. It's my Adonai. They put me in the corner, press me, put me in a situation that every normal person would choose the stairs. I remember saying, God, I don't want to go to this elevator. Please, I'm choosing the stairs. Sometimes God put us in this stressful situation. Or we are getting kind of bad news, Or we don't know why we are stuck, somewhere like I was stuck. And this is like not looking normal. But God has a plan for us. Nothing is by chance. And I'm telling you, this pastor was saying then in Italy, Oksana, God has a plan for you. And I thought, what kind of horrible plan this God has for me? Why I should be stuck here with no food, with no, normal life, with miserable existence. But now, many years later, I praise my Adonai for this difficult time that I was there. Because if I wouldn't be there, I wouldn't be here today. Sometimes we even need this difficult times, because in these difficult times and moments, God works on us, okay? He draws us closer to Him. So I know sometimes we're in a really hard situation, but please believe God has a plan for us, and His plan is good, okay? So I just want to say that that these missionaries, they took our pictures and they advertised all over the world among Christian community, Christian television, Christian newspapers, magazines, radio station, and they asked people to help, to take some families, to do whatever they can, because we were really in a very, very bad situation there. So people were actually living every week. And it was kind of a hope. I was stuck in Italy for a long time. First of all, I had to learn Italian. I'm writing more about how I was surviving there. we were not supposed to work, but you have to work, okay? We were not supposed to do this and that, but you have to survive. I had to learn Italian because I had to. It's not about you want, you can't. You had to survive, okay? It's like when you are in the ocean, you have to get moving. Otherwise, you are going to be dead. So it was a kind of a big, big school of life for me. It was hard. But again, today I praise God for all this difficult time and for you know, bringing me through this. Even this dream I actually had 3 times in my life. I hope never again. I hope never again. I can tell you guys, even today it's a secret, but I can tell you till now, I will never enter an elevator if I'm not right with God. You can easily check me. Every elevator, it's always a reminder for me. I know God speaks different way to each one of us. I'm just sharing today my story, okay? So anyway, they came to me after 1 year in Italy, pastor and his wife, and they say, Oksana, congratulations, you are going to... Wrong. America, yeah. I would deny Israel, so... This is what I heard. This is what I thought that they would say, because I wanted to go to America. But they said to me, Oksana, congratulations, you are going to Canada. Canada. Like, why Canada? What? Yeah, I didn't really understand what's going on. But again, I was still so happy because I was going out of Italy. And they said that in Canada, there are some people, a family, they decided to sponsor me. They decided to take me to their house. And I'm going to live with them for 1 year until I'm on my own. And they're going to help me. So I thought they are so rich. Because who can really afford this, you know? So I was kind of dreaming of a luxury life in their home, like in their palace, you know, driving limousines and stuff like that. So when I came to Vancouver Airport, and when I saw these people, you know, very simple looking people, not even dressed fancy for me, so I thought, like, what's going on? They don't look like, you know, I was kind of expecting. Their old Chevrolet was not a bad car, but nothing really, you know, fancy like I thought. Why they didn't take their limousine? Anyway, their house was also kind of a little house that nothing really special, very nice, but they had 3 kids, and they actually were in need. They hardly could close the month by themselves. They had 3 kids, and he's the only one that was working. So I didn't understand. I said, how come you decided to take me on your head? You know, you already have so much on your plate. Why you even, you know, done it? And they say, you know, we believe in the Bible. And when we heard about Russian Jews stuck in Italy without any hope, without any way out, we believe that Abba just pressed on our heart to take one and to give everything we can according to the word of God. You know, these people, they didn't preach to me. They did preach to me so loudly just by their attitude, just by their behavior, by their relationship that I saw close in their house, not in a church, not in a you know, congregation. I saw them closely all the minutes of their life, pretty much, and I was amazed. I was amazed because this was the most loud and powerful testimony that I ever experienced and saw with my own eyes. And today I pray for me and for all of us, that we will be these living testimonies, that people just look at our life just from a side, and they notice something there is amazing. Something there is, you know, I want to know what it's about. You know, this is actually amazing, really, way that Abba, you know, done for me. I also met many believers in Canada. They had all the same problem. You know, I call this problem. I call this actually sickness and craziness, because they were so in love with Israel that I couldn't understand. Their love for Israel was beyond any imagination. They were fasting on Yom Kippur. They were doing Passover, and I learned finally what Passover is about. They were doing Sukkah, you know, building Sukkah and doing Sukkot. They were having all this kind of, you know, I thought it's more about my people. It's kind of, I thought it's more kind of Jewish, but I didn't have it, and they did. They truly provoked me to jealousy. And I can tell you guys, if you are Gentile, please, please, please listen. If God put in your way, in your life, a Jew, you have amazing, important, important role to provoke Jews for jealousy. Today in Israel, we still are a very small community. We're still less than 1% of the whole population. And most of us who are open eyes today, who you know have this veil taken out, we are, most of us were provoked to jealousy by Gentile people, and we owe Gentile people for their faithfulness. I'm really praising God that I met these people. You know, I believe I got infected from them, because when I came to Israel, I didn't know what's going on with me, but I the tears was running down my cheeks, and when I saw the flags and little kids, you know, with peyot, I didn't understand what's going on. Now I know God just turned my heart towards Israel just 180 degrees, you know. And you can say, sure, you saw Israel is amazing, you so it's a very developed country. Actually, I didn't see anything, pretty much. When I came, just 3 days later, the Gulf War started. Most of my time, I was in a room with my parents, with a mask, trying to just survive, and it was scary, scary experience. I'm writing much more about this in my book as well, okay? We're not going to discuss it. I just want to say that already in Israel, I felt this is my place. This is my country. This is my people. I just knew I need to be here. This is, you know, kind of, again, I believe if you have a heart for Israel, believe me, and it's for sure not physical. It only can be spiritual. Again, because you have amazing country. We have so, here it's so much of everything, you know. But something in Israel, it's in the spirit. It's something really, by your spirit, you can have this love. It's because, you know, you have this connection to the one that Israel is the apple of his eye. Amen. So I just want to say that when I came to Israel after about half a year or so, I told my Russian Jews and other friends, I said that I thought that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel, because I actually already believed in God. I didn't get any benefits, by the way. They told, you're coming from a rich country, you're not eligible. But I came, I believed that God exists. It was a huge thing in my life, being atheist and now believing that God exists. It's not that I was, you know, working really in a perfect ways of God, but I was studying Bible, I was singing praises, and I was kind of, you know, investigating more and more. And when I said to my Jewish friends that Yeshua probably is the Messiah of Israel, they said, no, are you crazy? You cannot believe in this Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you are not a Jew anymore. And I finally wanted to be a Jew. I'm in Israel, you know, after all this time. So I was like, what's going on? I don't understand. And I always thought that the Jewish people, they are very smart. And if they don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, maybe they know something that I don't. And I decided, they told me, burn this Brit HaChadasha, New Testament. You cannot read it. I didn't burn it, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to look for Messiah, Jewish Messiah, from Jewish writings. I don't want to, you know, to be mistaken, because I already understood that God exists. I already understood that it's very important, the Messiah, and all the promises, it's about Messiah. It's about him. So I need to find the right one. You know, so I decided I'm going to prove to all these good people, you know, that this Jesus, he's maybe a good guy, you know, everything, maybe even prophet, but he's surely not Messiah of Israel, you know. So how you prove it? How you prove it? There is only one way. There is only one way. There is Tanakh. Tanakh, it's the only way, it's all the book of instructions, you know, Torah, Ktuvim, Nevi'im. And I decided that I'm going to learn it. So what I'm telling you also, because I'm kind of stubborn person by nature, okay? And God could always add a little bit stubbornness for, like, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, okay? So, but I believe also that God really blessed me with a passion for truth. Guys, we need to have this passion, especially today in this last day. There will be so many already deception everywhere, all around us. If we don't know the truth, if we don't have this passion for truth, we will be deceived. It's not my words. It's written many times in the Bible. So I praise Adonai that he made me so stubborn. I'm going to prove them. I'm going to teach. I'm going to study. So the more I studied, you know, it's about more than 300 prophecies about Messiah in Tanakh, you know. You probably know the answer. The more I studied, the more I hope that it will be not Jesus. It will be someone else. I hope for a different name, believe me. But I could not find anyone. The more I studied Tanakh, I understood there is only one in the whole history of the universe. It's only him, Yeshua HaMashiach, the light of the world, the only way to the Father. Only then I decided to surrender. Okay, only then I decided to immerse in waters, okay? It's a different story. I pass it, just finalize, okay, and then we will pray this prayer. Just want to say that when I had this revelation, it was also somehow like the last drop in a full glass of water, and it started flowing out. I understood that he is the Messiah, and suddenly my eyes were open, you know? And I saw myself, I understood about my life, that all this time I actually was a pretty godly woman. Correct? I was studying Tanakh. I was singing praises to Adonai. I really was, in this kind of, so I was a godly woman, correct? But I was with the world in the same time. I was doing horrible things, the ones that for sure are not pleasing God. And I didn't have a problem with this a bit. I was staying this on two mountains, kind of, you know. On one time, it's kind of with the world. And then, there's Shabbat and other days that I went to study. So, and it didn't bother me at all, until I had this revelation. When I had this revelation, I understood that there is no way you can stand like that. There is no way. There is only one way. Or you are with God, or you're against him. Or you are with God, or you're against him. So we cannot stand like that. So only then I decided, I want to die for this world and live for him. This is the most important decision that we should do, actually, almost every day. It's the war that we are, it's not finished. You know, if somebody say, the blessing will be falling on you, the money going to be growing, the trees, wrong. We still have, you know, difficulties and mountains we need to go, but you will go in his light. Like today you were saying, you know, when there is something different, it's you're not alone, and there are blessings, and there are amazing promises. Again, easy? I can't promise anyone. I know that it's never easy, but you will go in his light. And this, you know, we need to surrender. We need to clean this temple really and put everything on the table and say, here I am, hineni. So I would like, guys, to pray with you with this prayer that it's called, Not My Will But Yours. We have to have words, please, on the screen, because we are going to sing it together. It's not enough. I love when people sing my songs, you know. It's always pleasing and nice. But please don't do it for me. You know, do it for Adonai. I believe that Abba loves to hear his children to pray this prayer, Not my will, but yours be done in everything. Okay, I invite you all to sing with me, please. At least in a course that you can just proclaim it, and you can, you know, it can change your situation. It can change your whole life. It's really, really a great prayer, short, and if you're a busy person, you can always use it. Just one second, I'm trying to find it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Can I make a request? We're going to take a love offering for you, but would you sing the song, Peer Into My Heart? Can you do that? Yeah. I can do it as an offertory if you want. Okay.
I can do something different. Is it okay?
Something do whatever you want.
Okay.
But if you want Boaz.
Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to show you a few things that we have available if you would like to bless our ministry through some of this music. We also have over in the fellowship hall, we have a few other things, some books. We have the book, The Destination, for sure, the story of Oksana's life, and we also have that in an audio book. She would like to sign the paperback if you get the paperback, and sometimes she finds a creative way to even sign the audio book if you decide. It's word for word the same. It's about 4.5 hours on 4 CDs. So some people, either they do a lot of driving or maybe reading is not their favorite thing. So we have this available so they can hear the same story and be blessed with it. The book?
The book, I can just tell, I already told the rabbi. People always ask us, what about you guys?
Oh, okay.
I'm Israeli. How you met?
It's in there as well, the last half, yes. Okay, so the first CD Oksana recorded, The Power of Words, it's 100% Hebrew. It's she thought it was going to be the only CD she ever did, probably, or never would do, and she had some feedback saying, well, maybe in your next one you could do some English, and she, why? You know, why would I sing in English? But anyway, so... About 2 years later, though.
When I produced the CD in 2005 in Israel, I thought, no, I didn't. I really felt something so amazing that when I downloaded and, you know, danced for me. It was really my first baby. Behold.
2 years later, she did come out with another CD, Recipe for Love. And somehow, about 15% ended up being English. But anyway,
15,
okay. Yes, 15, just a little bit, mostly Hebrew, 85% Hebrew.
I just want to say that this one, actually it was a miracle, and I am writing about this in my book. I had a sponsor, people who actually wanted, after the first CD, they said we want to produce your CD. It's a story that, it's unbelievable story, Recipe for Love. So we could use amazing, famous musician in Israel, like
we decided we wanted to make an instrumental album using what we thought were the best songs from those first two albums. So we went to Israel specifically to record instruments being played, real instruments in Israel, real pan flutist, real violinist. So we tried to do as much as possible of real instruments, and we made this album just for instrumental music. So it's the same songs that half of from each album of the first two albums, and we made this Sound of the Soul. And people that enjoy instrumental music usually find it very relaxing and very enjoyable to listen to. And the following year, we came out with Not My Will But Yours, which this song is on... the first album, I think, song number 7, and it's song number 7 on here, I believe. Yeah. And this is 100% English, though, so here, Not My Will But Yours is in English, and the other album, On the Power of Words, it's in Hebrew. So this album, we finally did 100% English album because we were traveling around the country, going to many English-speaking congregations, and they were wanting an English album. So we made an English album. Once again, half the songs from the first two albums, what we consider the best. Hard to predict the best sometimes, but anyway, that's what we thought so, and we did that album. Then, this one? Okay. Then we sat in the next year, we came out with this album. This album is On My Knees. It's a sign of the times. It's an album of repentance. It's about two-thirds Hebrew, one-third English, all new songs from any of the previous albums. 7 years in the making, basically, of work went into this, which every album takes a lot of work and a lot of money, too. Some people don't really understand that, but anyway, it's not cheap to make those. The next year, we came out with a Russian album. We had a lot of feedback from Russian congregations where we go. They thought they were being overlooked because we didn't have any Russian singing. So, yes, we came out with this album. It's Beloved Adonai, and it's two-thirds Russian, one-third Hebrew. It's a great way to minister to Russian Jews that may not be believers. Then, this year, well, in the past year, we came out with two albums. We came out with Melodia da Ama, which is a Spanish album. It's 3/4 Spanish and 1/4 Hebrew. Actually, that album actually is almost it has two extra songs over most albums. It has 14 songs, so even though it's 3/4 Spanish and then 1/4 Hebrew, it's really you almost get the Hebrew as a bonus, and it's just almost a Spanish album, if you see what I'm saying. Besides the, and it also has you think it's your favorite album. Then we also came out in the same week, 5 years in the making on the Spanish album as well, and then 5 years in the making on this album, Shema Israel. It has all new songs from any other album, and it's half Hebrew, half English. So we came out with this album during this past year as well. And then we have an album that's not our album. It's not Oksana singing, but we know an Israel ministry that... that we support by selling this album that they made, which it's an unusual album. We don't see anyone else with anything like this available. It's hymns in Hebrew, and it's done extremely well. So if you know hymns and you want to listen to them in Hebrew, this would be a favorite for you. We sell a lot of these to when we go to churches. It's usually very popular there. And when people buy this album, they actually bless the congregation in Israel that made this album. It's done very well with orchestra music and professional singers. And she can give you a little taste here. Yes.
And very good professional, very good singers, all done in Israel.
And it was the first albums we had were made in Israel, and they were all in Hebrew writing. So you had to be trying to figure out what you were listening to, and that was a little bit of a struggle. But we went ahead. Now we print these here, and. And we translated to English, so you can actually see the song that you're listening to in English. So you will know the name of the song, but all the lyrics are in Hebrew. So we also have some jewelry from Israel and a few other books. And if you come over to the fellowship hall, we have all that over there, right here in the back here. If anyone has to leave. Quickly, we do have some CDs and the books available, but Oksana wanted me to mention to you that we take credit cards or checks, so as well as cash, so we try to make our things available to you if possible. So thank you very much, and
thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. It's been a blessing to be here.
No, that's okay, honey. I'm on. Thank you. All right. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. My goodness, they have produced a lot of albums. Were you a musician before when you were on your journey from St. Petersburg to... You were always a musician. Okay, so you were you were doing the music even when you were lost.
Yeah, but different music.
Different music.
Bad songs.
Bad songs. Now we have good songs. So we have plenty of CDs to choose from, and I'm sure you will. We're going to take a love offering for their ministry. As you know, you probably saw they're traveling in a motorhome. And I can tell you from experience, it's very expensive to drive around the country in a motorhome. And, a fuel pump breaks or a belt or something, and you have to go to you don't just go to a Jiffy Lube to get fixed. You have to go to a place where they fix those things, and it's not cheap. So let's bless them. Amen. So I'm going to pray. If we make checks, do you want us to make it all to this ministry and give you one, or would you like us to make it out to your ministry?
Make it to Oksana. It's fine. Just
Oksana. Okay. O-X-A-N-A. Make your checks to O-X-A-N-A. Okay. So, Anthony, would you pass a basket around? And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to bless Oksana and Boaz. We thank you for this ministry. Thank you for the testimony of how this she was a refugee, Lord. And she was a refugee, and she resisted you. But even despite her resisting you, and despite traveling to many countries, you were with her all the way through her journey. And you're still with her today, Lord. And it's inspiring, Lord, to hear that. It's inspiring to hear the story. And all that was preparation so that she could sing and share her testimony and sing her music in many languages to many peoples. And you prepared her that way by sending her. So we give you the praise and the glory that nothing is by accident. In Yeshua's name, Lord, bless this offering. Amen. No, that's right. He was preparing you. Every country for international ministry. Amen. All right. So, okay. Well, we're going to have lunch. Anybody is welcome to join us. You don't have to have brought anything. Please come. We have lunches being served, and they have CDs down there as well. You can stop here at the back of the room afterward. But let me give you the blessing. Please stand up. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai vayishmarecha. Ya'er nai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom." Amen. Shabbat shalom. Greet one another. Hallelujah.
One thing I desire, this one thing I seek, to dwell within your house, beholding you alone.